They don't make them like that anymore. If people are out there saying, hey, man, that sounds like it's recorded in a tin can, man. What's up with this guy's audio quality? I think we got great audio quality on here, but that was recorded on television in London. You know, when it was still black and white TV. For you kids out there, like, this is bullshit. Black and white. What's that, man? Have you ever gotten knocked out there, kids? Punched to the face and everything goes black and white? Or everything goes purple? Or everything goes yellow? Get your clock cleaned in football. Get back to the huddle and everything's purple or yellow like you're wearing sunglasses? No, because you're soft. You're playing video games. That's what black and white is these days. Back in the old days is when you got tuned up, everything went black and white or monochrome. But it's hard to do that when you're on your apps. You get out there and stick your nose in it, and then you get a taste of what real life is about. Right? All the times you should have gotten cracked across the head for your comments on social media, you just go on, take a spin out to Starbucks and get a latte instead of trying to put the pieces of your life back together after getting tuned up. But anyhow, that's another thing. Thomas Paine Podcast number 43. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Be breaking some news on here like we always do. Like we always do. You know, I was going to put this out. This is the Big Wednesday podcast coming out on Big Thursday. What was the point of competing with yesterday's hangover from the presidential debates? And it continues. And we'll touch on initially. How about some more Led Zeppelin? Do in the background a little bit.
So I'm gonna put you down for a while.
See, now that wasn't recorded at BBC TV, and it was remastered in 1990, so it sounds like it should by today's audio standards. So everybody calm down out there, like, you young kids. You think Led Zeppelin is something that flies in the air. Man, I remember we were playing football middle of the season when John Bonham died. Our coaches were like, distraught. It was a big deal back then. It was 1980, I think. I can't remember. I think it was 1980. Last year of grade school, I think. I don't know. It's crazy. They say, come on in, guys, take a knee. We're like, oh, are we in trouble? They start talking about the drummer Led Zeppelin died. Because I think it happened while we were at practice, or came across the radio in Philadelphia when we were practicing at night. And they actually brought us in, like, guys, come on, take a knee. Got some bad news for you. We're like, oh, man. We'll be running some laps tonight. And then they told us, we're like, whoa, that's crazy. You don't understand. If you weren't growing up during that time, how big Led Zeppelin was. Massive. And, I mean, obviously they still are, but. So I figure we'll go with a little Zeppelin tonight, today, whenever you're listening. And we appreciate you listening. And we also appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit who are watching the Pain in the Morning video podcast. They're getting the extra vittles for the subscriber benefits that we will be continuing to build out and offer extra supplements. Hell, we might even go to a start breaking our news on there only. The hell with Twitter and Facebook. A lot of things being considered, so I think you're going to want to be there in late 2020 and 2021. Are you going to keep watching Fox? Keep getting lied to? Watching all these idiots in the media lie to you? Or pick up our stuff 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3, 4 years later? Stuff we wrote 4 years ago is in the news. How bad are these people at their jobs? It's pretty damn bad. So we broke it down. It's 27 cents a day to be months, years, and light years ahead of the pack by listening to this podcast and following our intel that's been proven time and time and time and time and time again. It scares the hell out of people how we do it. We're professionals. You figured that out yet? We know what the hell we're doing. We have a lot of contacts. Smart people. Smart people gravitate toward us. That's what we want. I don't want idiots. I'm tired of idiots. I have buckets of idiots on Twitter. You'd be smart to get the hell out of that platform. Social media is the bane of our existence. It's a disgrace what it's done to our country. The intentions it started out with were great, but how these people have manipulated it to take advantage of people to peddle their shitty ads. Anyway, we appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Tonight we'll be doing the More Pain show. It was delayed because of the debate. That's also another subscriber-only benefit. And there may be changes coming to that as well. I mean, there's a lot of things in play. We're going to shake things up for sure after the election. We'll stay cool until the election for a couple more weeks, and then I'm going to shake things up. There's no reason to do it before the election. But it's coming. And if you fuckers out there that have been lying to people about all this stuff with Durham and the FBI and the media, if you think you're getting a fucking free pass, yeah, just enjoy the next couple weeks. That's all I'm going to tell you. You're not getting a free pass. Not from us. Because when it all comes crashing down and you misled people time and time and time again, you don't get a free pass. You can try to move the goalposts. This is what they do. They do this all the time. Let me tell you how it happens. They lie to you, the media. The big names in the media. People you love, you flock to. You watch them on TV. You're on their podcasts. You're on all their platforms. They lie to you every day, and you love them. I think people love being lied to. That's why I'm trying to attract smart people that don't like to be lied to, that are okay with hearing the truth, even if it makes them uncomfortable. But they lie to you, claim that they have sources. Yeah, they have sources, but their sources are playing them like a fiddle, or they just make the stuff up. It's one or the other. Either way. it's bad news. You're not getting genuine, raw intelligence that's true, okay? Then when it comes out that they were wrong, they say, oh, well, what can you do? The deep state wins again. No, no, that's not the way it works. You lied to people. You made money lying to them. If your sources weren't good enough, you shouldn't be in this business. You're part of the fucking problem. Go away. Go do whatever you were doing before you decided that you were a journalist. You woke up one day, somebody told you, hey, we can make money lying to people. We can peddle conspiracy theories all day long about who's going to jail, about who foretells the future. The only person who's consistently foretold anything is me. It's true. Months, years ahead of everybody else. And guess what? I don't do do-overs. I don't say, oh, well, we were wrong. And then I don't move the goalposts. We say something and it happens. Plain and simple. These other, I don't even know. There's people talking in codes. You have to decipher the code. Bitch, I don't got time to decipher a code. The world around me is falling apart. Tell me something now. Code. Did you miss your childhood? Didn't get your decoder ring in your box of Cracker Jacks? You simple sons of bitches. Are you for real? We're out here adults at the crossroads, at the precipice of our country. A very trying time, and you're fucking throwing out riddles? What is this, a Batman episode? Do I have to wear a green turtleneck with a question mark like the Riddler? Who was the original Riddler? Frank Gorsha? Am I saying his name right? Last thing I need is some DC comic weirdo stalking me. I'm telling you, you never can tell. Why am I spelling it wrong? I don't know. Frank Gorshin. Okay, I was close. The Riddler. Riddle me that, Batman. Why do you folks love to be lied to out there? That's a sickness. There's something wrong. It's like a cult-like behavior. People lie to you, take advantage of you, and you go back. You're in Stockholm Syndrome, folks. I'm not talking to the folks listening to us, per se. But I'm sure there is some spillover. You need to really break free from this crap. For instance, I'll give you a perfect example. Okay. At a rally in Minnesota, people are chanting, lock her up. Okay. Same that they did in 2016. Lock her up. Don't you understand? Nobody's gotten locked up. Why are you people chanting lock her up? They're talking about Hillary and they're talking about Ilhan Omar. Do you really think that in this culture of the Justice Department, who's afraid of its own shadow when it comes to the rich and the elite, of putting any of them in prison? It took 35, 40 years to put Epstein in prison and Maxwell. Do you really think that, number one, the Justice Department, whether Ilhan Omar is here legally or she was here by immigration fraud or whatever. Okay. There's a compelling case that that's true. Great. Since when do people who break the law go to jail? Since when do congressmen and congresswomen go to jail? They steal money. They dabble in insider trading. They become ridiculously rich for their having their salaries. Become multimillionaires. They don't go to jail. Do you think that Barr and his wing monkeys down there in the Justice Department are going to put a female in jail who's a Democrat, who's a Muslim, who's a minority, who's a congresswoman? Do you think she's going to jail? Lock her up? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Haven't you learned anything in the last 4 years? At least artificial intelligence learns from its mistakes and becomes smarter. Have we not figured this out? Have we not figured it out? And in that thing, I'm not going to fuck around today because I got a lot of stuff to do, and no one listens to what I say anyhow until 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later. After I say it, somebody else says it, then they listen. And they say, oh, yeah, I think that guy said it. I don't remember. That guy's always saying stuff and it comes true, but we're not going to pay any attention to him because, nobody else does. Okay, so maybe I'm a little sour, but hey, you would be too. But the people who listen to us, the people who support us get it. And that base is growing. So that is encouraging. I don't know what the fuck is going on outside. There's a buzzing. It's like a helicopter or something. Been flying over the house for like weeks. Big ass ones. Apaches. I don't know what's going on. We had a bomber fly across the house the other day. Stealth bomber. It was at like 1,200 feet. I don't know what's going on. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to just roll with it. It'll eventually go away. Those things fly and they move away. Anyway. Okay, so maybe it's a good thing to happen. I think I was about to go off the rails. Get frustrated in this business. Anyway, getting back to that, the New York Times writes something that, John Durham is looking at the Clinton Foundation. Everybody goes wild, right? And we talked about this previously. We wrote that in May 2020. Nobody gave a shit what we said. And here's the trick. People are so fucking stupid. They don't understand what's going on. When you have the inside intel on this stuff, and we actually have developed leaks. That was the first leak out of Durham. I heard these idiots in the media, the right-wing media. There are no leaks in Connecticut. Yeah, it's really tight in the bullshit. There's leaks everywhere. You just aren't connected. Right? You don't have your buckets in the right place to catch the leaks because you're new at this and you're lazy and you're stupid and you're a shill. You're paid by rich people to espouse their bullshit, the millionaires and billionaires, to promote their ideologies, to promote their businesses, to promote their rich ass philosophies. And that rarely has anything to do with telling the truth. That's why you don't have the hooks. And even if you did, you wouldn't be allowed to say it anyhow because you're a puppet. Okay. So we said this in May. And then the New York Times just came out with this. So everybody thinks that this is news. It is not news. It is 5 going on 6 months old. Okay. So the question is, since we are 6 months ahead of the New York Times, and everybody thinks that this is news, what has happened since we're ahead of the story 6 months? We should be ahead of the story again, and we are, with leaks. The only provable leaks, bona fide leaks, from Durham have been printed and talked about from us. So what's happened in the last 5 months? We're going to tell you today. You think that what's being represented in the New York Times is accurate? You're in for an eye-opener. Let's go back to, for the hell of it, instead of me telling you all the time that, I said this, then I said this, blah, 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 time and time again. It gets tiring for me, too. If you guys are tired of it, imagine how I feel. I'll just let me and my words do the talking and let them do the walking and take you through. We'll blast back to the future, as I'm starting to call it. We're going back to the future. We'll go back to May. I think it was May 6th, episode 22 of the Thomas Paine podcast. We're on episode 43, so that'll give you an idea. We do the main episodes once a week, so for you math geniuses out there, you can figure it out. Let's go back and just listen to what I said at that time. Again, May. This is May. Let's check in with we go back to the future. To the Thomas Paine podcast to see what I was talking about in May. And then after we're done with that, we'll go back to the future again And I will tell you more breaking news. And months from now, we will have to travel back to the future again to discuss why I was months ahead. Again, this is like, you know, Back to the Future 3, 4, 5, and 6. We can keep doing this. Get Michael J. Fox on here. Let's take a step back right now. I guess you might have a little bit more time on your hands to listen than you normally would, so I shouldn't get all wrapped up in it. So I'm still wired for the pre-pandemic, you know, where you're hustling and sticking and moving, but I guess things have slowed down considerably, but or maybe they haven't, depending on your situation. I don't know. But, some breaking news we've developed in the last few days. Let me get on my notes. I had to make notes because I talked to several people, and there's good stuff going on coming out of Connecticut. Durham, who has been investigating the FBI and Department of Justice and FISA and all these interesting characters from Strzok and Page and Priestep and Baker and Comey and McCabe, and the list goes on and on and on of these criminal Sanhedrin, criminal cartel that was running the seventh floor of the FBI for years and running their own private central intelligence agency against politicians and against enemies. Running their own little third world government from the seventh floor and from the outskirts of different field offices of hand-picked disciples they had put in place to make sure they could control the information flow and get away with schemes that they were doing, right? But so Durham's been looking at that. U.S. attorney in Connecticut, and appointed by Barr, William Barr, to look at that. And along the way, we hear that this week that Mr. Durham and his staff, he has a staff up there working for him. He has some loyal soldiers he's worked with a long time. And we have great, I'll tell you, sometimes it's just fate. We have great sources in Connecticut. And I always thought, what the hell good are they doing me? Why aren't my sources in New York City, you know, the New York field office? That would be in the Southern District in New York. That would be a great place to have sources as opposed to Connecticut. But when Barr appointed Durham, I was like, hot damn, we're in business because we got good sources up there, better than good. And so what we're finding out now is that a number of Mr. Durham's staff members have met with some folks who were integral at investigating on the federal side, the Clinton Foundation. And it looks like that could be back in play. That Durham might be reopening that old dusty file that was put away by so many attorney generals, including Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, and also William Barr recently stuffed that back in the drawer. But it looks like Durham is interested in pulling it out. And you may have COVID-19 to thank for that. Specifically, looking at the Clinton Foundation's manipulations and schemes involving the National Institute of Health, the CDC, USAID, vaccines, phony vaccines, Rambaxi. We talked about that on a previous podcast. You have to track. I can't explain, break down everything. We're on like a vision quest here. It's a continuing saga. Some people say this isn't a news show. It's like a true crime series. Maybe it is. I don't know the difference. I'm just here to, you know, tell you what it is, but this is very interesting development. And it comes from high level sources, And they're never wrong, by the way. They haven't been wrong for 4 years with us, and that's a hell of a track record in this business. Most people run 50-50. I think we're running 95-5 when it comes to right versus wrong, and the stuff we've gotten wrong is just minor details, but it still bugs the hell out of me. That's big news. That is big news. Durham is apparently, from what we know. Now, I can't guarantee what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. But I do have the sources telling me that this is back in play. And this might have piqued his interest because of some of the players right now. Tied into the Clinton Foundation, a guy like Fauci. There's so much negative information coming out about Fauci. He gets briefed on Fauci. He gets briefed on the Clintons. He gets briefed on all these people. And that's big news. So we're going to keep developing that. And I waited all day to get the final confirmation on a bunch of stuff. And I'll tell you what time it is right now, to be honest with you. It's 4 a.m. East Coast time. So I waited all day to talk to people to make sure we had our ducks in a row and to see how much I could collect, as much information as I could collect to get it out today. And so, because I like to break news on here, you know that I like to break news. That's the name of the game. You want to be first and you want to be right and you want to be out in front of everybody else, obviously. And we are doing that on a regular basis. And I feel that this is great, some encouraging news out Durham. Now, I don't know where it's going to go. And like I said, and I want to put that out there because it's tough to say where any of these guys go. However, we do know that some people, specifically some, I have to be careful how I say this. Let me break it down for you. Who investigated the Clinton Foundation? The FBI did, as well as Treasury agents. Okay. Now, what happened is a number of them, two task force specifically, had looked at just a wide range of fraud, money laundering, manipulation, schemes, white-collar, you know, it's just basic white-collar fraud, moving money. Wire fraud, it just goes on and on and on. It's limitless. You could, if you wanted to list the U.S. titles, USC titles, it just goes on and on and on for these guys. They put together a hell of an investigation, and along the line, somewhere along the lines, as it went up the flagpole on both ends, on Justice and on Treasury, it got scrubbed or got stopped. It got stymied. Usually that happens when people get really nervous and other beautiful people, the rich and famous, the elites, get implicated in things like this, right? People start to get nervous, becomes politicized, because we know that these agencies are now politicized, and we probably didn't realize that, at least I didn't, in 2015, but we've seen it in 2016 through the present, that they're very politicized, and we have a adult 360-degree view now of what happens in these agencies when important people get implicated. Instead of getting indicted and brought to justice, the swamp, so to speak, protects these people and pretends there's nothing going on. Okay, so the question is Durham different than everybody else who has come along the line? So what Durham has spoken to people that worked these investigations that I'm talking about, were in the ground level of these investigations, that's big. That he's gone through the trouble of sitting down and spending hours in the last week or so, hours, his staff, getting debriefed on what happened, what they were looking at, all the different schemes. Guys, there's billions of dollars moving through that place, illicit money from different governments and different charities. It's a menagerie. It's an investigator described as an investigator's dream, but also an investigator's nightmare because of the intricacies. So this is big. I think it's big. And we're going to follow it and see where it goes, obviously. But that case was dead. Barr left that case for dead with Huber, and he tied a bow around it and said, yeah, there's nothing there. But now Durham has had fact testimony from people who worked the case, okay? People who worked the case. And that's a game changer, right? And I know there was, from talking to similar folks, there was plenty there to to indict anybody they wanted. It was a candy store. And these ground agents, the street agents, and supervisory special agents were very upset when it didn't even go to a grand jury because they thought this was a career case. They were going to make career. There are a lot of guys who were up for promotions and they didn't go anywhere. They stayed and they worked on the task force and they lost out money and they lost out on promotions because they thought this was a career case. I mean, come on. These guys aren't stupid. They see the evidence. They have the subpoena power. They throw their shield and their creds in somebody's face at the door, and they talk. These people don't want to go to jail, and they want to cooperate because they don't want to get in trouble. So they develop information all over the world on these guys, from Norway to the UK to New Zealand to Australia to the Congo, parts of Africa. Goes on and on and on. This is international scheme with a lot of players. India, obviously, with Rambaxi and the Singh brothers, who were completely out of their minds and master criminals, who were basically shooting. I don't know what they were shooting into kids' arms for vaccines, but it wasn't anything that was medicinal. It wasn't proven, and it was fraud. And there's so many things. So I'm encouraged by it, and I wanted to share that with you because we like to break news, and we're going to stay on top of where that's going. And I think we need a little bit of good news in this situation that we're in. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I'm interested in it. And I know the folks that we're getting it from are solid, solid folks. Solid. And a matter of fact, I ran it past somebody else who's been high-level source, and he said, there was like a silence, and he said, how the fuck do you know this? How did you get wind of this? There's not a lot of people to know about. I said, hey, right? I'm like the boss on Rocky's boss, the loan shark in Rocky One. You don't think I hear things? I hear things. You don't think I hear things? I hear things, you know what I mean? So I'm excited with it. Yeah, so. I have to make some kind of space noise. The DeLorean is now back. It's October 1st, 2020. We just went back to the future in May of 2020. May 6th, I think it was, episode 22. Something like that. May 6th, May 8th. I think it was May 6th. So we went from May 6th, if you're listening to that. And it could go on and on. There's another hour. If you want to listen further, go listen to episode 22. We literally went back to the future. And I told you exactly what happened. That's actually better than me telling you now what I said. Because you can actually listen to what I said in May. And then magically, in September, the New York Times writes the same story and everybody goes crazy and it goes viral. That's just the way it is when you're the big dog, right? You can write stuff and it goes viral, right? But the New York Times missed the story because what has happened since May? They're 6 months behind the story. So as I said again, we got to come out now. We got to be ahead of the story, and I'm going to break some more news right now. As I said, I didn't know what way it was going to go, what was going to happen, what Durham and his staff was going to be looking at. Now we do, because we got another leak. And I think it's important to say that our sources were right on the money, of course, because that's what we expect. I demand perfection. That's what makes me different from other people. And I fucking demand perfection. I don't want any mistakes. I built a career on that in Intel. You cannot put people's ass on the line in Intel situations with bad information and sleep well at night. It's hard enough to sleep when you're in that business, but you can't put other people in, at risk and their lives and their families and things by being lazy and being wrong And you stand out because there are so many people who are lazy, who will not go the extra mile, who will not work the 18, 20-hour days, and sometimes 36 hours. I just coming off a 27-hour shift this week, okay? Sometimes you got to put it in, you know? You got to put it in. With everything going on at the house, everything going on in your kids' lives, everything going on in your family's lives, and then the business, sometimes you got to put it in. And but are there that many people out there to do it? I don't know. I can only speak for myself. But perfection is the name of the game in this business, to me at least. That's why you can take $35 and an idea and get a website and make a living from it if you're good at it. And I know I'm critical of everything, but we have done very well. Coming from where we came from, a position of nothing, no investors, no money, no money. When I started this, I was broke and was still pretty broke, but we're not as broke as we were. In a hole, the FBI had put me in, Justice Department put me in a hole, crippled me, but digging my way out. That's America. What's more American than that, right? And you do that by getting things right. So I appreciate our sources. We're right now. Do you think maybe they know what the hell they're talking about? And it's really a sham that I have to keep always self-promoting, but nobody else does it. It's insane. I don't get it. I don't get it. I guess it's so corrupt. I do get it. I guess it's so corrupt out there that when you tell the truth, you're actually a dangerous guy. That the people who make their living and make a hell of a lot better living than I do, and that you do out there, believe me, lying and pumping shit down into your head and shoving it down your throat on a daily basis of lies, they won't associate with somebody who tells the truth because they know somebody like me is a danger to them and to their existence and to their livelihood. So they won't promote it. They only promote liars and shills and frauds. That's how you know that they're full of shit. And they're wrong all the time. No one else in May had a leak from Durham. Nobody. Somebody said to me a couple days ago, yeah, the only people I ever had a leak was the New York Times. I said, yeah, here you go. Episode 22, May 6th. Go listen to it. They came back and said, holy shit, that was crazy. And I said, yeah, well, we got something else coming this week. And tell you what Durham's been doing for the last 5 months. And I want to get out of here and I got other stuff to do. And I'm not sure no one's fucking listening anyhow. I'll be facetious, but you understand my frustration. You understand my frustration. You should by now if you've been listening to me. It's insane. We just cannot reach enough people fast enough to get the truth out to them. And that's what's frustrating to me. Not that I get some stupid trophy for being right. I just want people to make decisions and understand what's going on from a position of strength. So they're not at a rally yelling, lock her up, and this kind of thing, and still expecting people to get locked up. The more information you know, I'm sorry, unless you're a complete cement head, dummy, jackass, you cannot make the leap that people are going to jail. Important people, plugged in people, including the Clintons. New leak from the Durham camp is as follows. And this has to do with, he lost a top lieutenant, Nora Dennehy. She resigned after alleged pressure from William Barr to pump out a report, the Durham report. Remember, it was supposed to be Durham is going to indict people. Durham is going to have a grand jury. And then somewhere along the line, magically, William Barr played his fucking magic bagpipes. And it became the Durham report, not the Durham indictment. It's, you can't make it up, okay? Little things like that. Little subtle spins like that. And a sleight of hand people don't pay attention to. And I'll get into that before I finish. I'll talk about the overall effects of that. But I'm sticking and moving here because of the exact reasons I said. The episode we did in episode 22, I don't know why, it's strange, but it was 2 hours and 22 minutes, episode 22. 2 hours, 22 minutes of me talking about the Clinton Foundation investigation. What was the name of it? The corrupt Clinton Foundation investigation, RE vaccine, medical fraud, et cetera, is back in play for the feds. Oh, yeah, I had an interview on that as well before. I mean, afterwards I interviewed, so that extended the podcast. But that was the breaking news from episode 22 on May 6th. But we'll go into what that means before I close this out, because I have it written here on a card. I rarely write anything down, but it's such an important point that I want to make. And sometimes I forget these things until after everything's done and completed and uploaded and everything else. But I refuse to do it this time. In the interim, here's the new leak from the same sources who have delivered time and time, hundreds of stories on the FBI, DEA, CIA, DOJ. It goes on and on and on. Never wrong. Since I restarted my journalism career, it's the craziest thing. It's not really crazy. You get things right. It's like lifting weights, right? Or training for some kind of an Olympic event. If you're going to be a professional, you do things the right way, you don't cut corners, and you never have to ever look over your shoulder, seeing where you screwed up. You make sure you win the battle. You win the battle before there's even a war. You do your homework. The battles are won long before they're fought, if you know what the hell you're doing, right? That's what makes you a dangerous person in any profession. Preparation, practice, attention to detail. Stuff you don't even see. Stuff people don't even see. It's all behind the scenes. And that's what we do. So here's the new leak, okay? They looked at this stuff, including Nora Dennehy, who just left. She was Durham's right-hand man, right-hand woman for a long time, decades, okay? It's very interesting, really, because Nora's husband is still works for Durham. Still works for Durham, so it's not a lot of people know that. And he's working on this case. He's working on the case that Barr tapped Durham to look at the FBI. We talked about that. You heard it. The episode clip I played from May, but she's gone. She was one of the people that were debriefed by the Clinton linked intel investigators, etc. Okay. Before she left, or while she left, or while she was leaving, however it breaks down, this is what happened. Sources went back to say, hey, we spent a lot of time with you, and other people have spent a lot of time with you. What's going on with the information we gave you about the Clinton Foundation? We gave this to you in May, or it might have been late April. I think I got it like a week later. So if it's May 6th, it could have been late April when they sat down with Durham and debriefed the whole team on all the fraud. The financial fraud of the Clinton Foundation. They were told just recently that the case was too complex for Durham to really tackle. That Durham wasn't originally tasked with investigating complex financial fraud. They didn't have the personnel and the wherewithal to tackle money laundering of this staggering proportion, as it was put, staggering proportion. And for that reason, it's not something that they, in the last few months, were expanding on. So while the New York Times spins this now in September, right? And now you start to understand why the New York Times is spinning it. If the New York Times is in the know like we are, they know that this is not going anywhere, specifically because Durham says they weren't tasked with this. The personnel that they have from the FBI, the personnel that they have from the U.S. Attorney's Office and from the Justice Department in D.C. are not built for speed when it comes to this complex financial crimes. And the FBI and Justice Department have a complex financial crime unit. There was a guy who, the FBI, you may have heard of, Sal Cincinnati. God rest his soul. He killed himself. He was one of the top guys who ran complex, high-profile frauds. And the FBI has a division, and the Justice Department has a parallel division, and of course they work together. Nobody from that division has been reassigned to work with Durham. Durham doesn't want it. It's outside the scope of what they have been tasked to do. The question has questions have arisen. Why didn't you get more people then, more people who are adept at these complex frauds to come in and work the intel that you were given on the Clinton Foundation, on their crimes, all their cohorts? We mentioned a few when I replayed that clip. Why didn't you get them? If you don't have the personnel exists, bring them in. They weren't brought in. Now, whether that was a decision from Barr or that was Durham's call, that's between Durham and Barr. And while our access is pretty high level, it's not that high level. It's not that high level, right? Those are decisions and discussions between Durham and Barr. Did Durham ask for it? We don't know. Did he decide not to ask for it because it was really outside the scope? Listen, Durham was never supposed to investigate the Clinton Foundation. That's just something that came up while he was on the trail. And these things happen, right? And then they entertain the fact that, hey, we could expand this. This is bigger, right? Because all these things spill over into each other, right? The FBI covering for the Clinton Foundation time and time again. That's bound to come up if you're doing a thorough investigation of the FBI and the Justice Department. That's bound to come up during the 2016 election where they covered for Hillary over the emails. Of course, it's going to come up. And then you pursue that and you find out, whoa, there's an even bigger history here. It's not just the FBI letter off the hook for some email violations, some classified email and running your own server. It's a little bit more complicated than that. There are billions of dollars at play here and public money too. And guys, you have to listen to all the back episodes. You can't encapsulate this and put it under one little tidy umbrella. It's hours and hours of hours of fraud, unraveling of schemes and fraud that we've talked about here, right? So we're trying to table and put it all together here as best as we can quickly and to summarize it. But you really, if you're not familiar with the back episodes on the Clintons, you need to listen to them to get a better idea what's going on. So the New York Times makes it look like there's something going on, and they may think there is, or they may know that there's not, and they decided to spin it that way. Right? To benefit the Clintons, because the misinformation benefits the Clintons. If the world thinks that the Clintons are under investigation and the Clintons aren't under investigation, that's spin, that's misdirection, that's bad intelligence that only benefits somebody in the position of the Clintons, right? We're here to tell you that as far as we know, and we were the first ones to report it in May, boom. That's been put to bed. Though while Durham entertained it, and they had some discussions about maybe broadening the scope of the investigation to include financial crimes of the Clinton Foundation. We're talking about financial fraud. We're talking about criminal money laundering. We're talking about schemes, international schemes. While they entertain the possibility of doing that, that is not, I repeat, that is not something that's on the table any longer. Now, whether that was Durham's call or Barr's call, that's a question for those two to answer. And good luck getting an answer from them. We're lucky that we have this high a level of access to even know this. But just a week after everybody went nuts and they think that the Clintons are going to jail, I'm here to tell you that what's happening in Connecticut does not indicate that this is still in play. And for the reasons that I just outlined. And that's all we know, but guess what? as far as getting leaks from the Durham camp, the Durham probe, that's as good as gets. And yes, it's Thomas Paine and his true pundit that broke it, as usual. So stick around 6 months, a year. Now, I always say this because you never can tell what the hell's going on with these people. Can Durham, can Barr pick this back up and do something with it? Absolutely. Will they? Doubtful. Doubtful because we know from inside that they said they didn't have the staff. They didn't have the staffing. They didn't have the expertise. And that wasn't their original outset. That wasn't their original mission. And don't forget, Barr is the one who shut down the entire Huber investigation. So is he going to let Durham crank it back up? Apparently not. So that's where we are. That's your breaking news for this week. That's the best breaking news you're going to find anywhere this week, believe me. So, New York Times, if you're out there, if you dummies are out there, pretend that you're breaking some news. I'll get to make fun of you 6 months or a year from now again when you try to come out and say that you have breaking news that Durham is looking at the Clinton Foundation and it goes wild all over the internet and you guys make a lot of money. God bless you for being assholes and 6 months behind me, behind my ramen pride noodle ass. Oh, man. And I said, you'll hear, if you re-listen to that part, in the clip I played from May 6th, episode 22, you'll hear me say, look, we don't know where this is going, but we'll follow up on it. And that's what we're doing. This story is developing, I said, and it develops into more intelligence, and then we give it to you. Now, I could have spun this like everybody else on TV and said, oh, my God. Big news update. They're looking at this. This is crazy. It's taking it to a second phase. This is going to get wild. And I'd have fucking thousands of retweets and thousands of hits on the story selling this bullshit hope. Instead, I'm telling you the truth. Because we don't play that game. We don't play that game. And you shouldn't play it either. I'm curious to see if you let these people off the hook that have been lying to you. If you do out there, whether you're a listener or not, if you do, you're a weak fucker. You're weak. You're soft to let people lie to you and manipulate you. There's little hope for you. I hate to break the news to you. And I don't want you listening to me. Don't listen to me. Go listen to the people that lie to you. Stay in that cult of bullshit. Stay in the cult of personality on TV. Your favorite trading card journalists, quote-unquote journalists, they're not journalists. They're paid professional. They're paid actors. Go away. I don't have time for you. You don't deserve the intel that we are breaking. I hate to, be a dick about it, but I just don't have time. I don't have time to entertain your questions about how do you know this, blah, 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 blah. I have a track record now. It's 4 fucking years. Put another 30 years on top of that 4 years. My track record goes back a lot farther than 4 years, folks. It's just 4 years since I've gotten back into journalism and been on social media, etc. And have my own site. My shit goes back 30 years, 35 years plus of being right, developing a work ethic, developing a trade craft where you try to avoid mistakes. Do people make mistakes all the time? Do I make mistakes? Sure. Try not to make big mistakes. If you haven't figured that out in 30 years or 35 years to do something, you're doing something wrong. And you're not very good at what you do. I think we're very good at what we do. So if I sound harsh, deal with it, right? Deal with it. If you're offended, try to be smarter about who you listen to. Try to be smarter about understanding how and why you are manipulated and by who and whom. Don't bring that shit around me because all I'm giving you is the truth. If it makes you uncomfortable, fuck you. How does this play into everything that's going on? Some of the notes I wrote. I warned multiple times on the Maura Payne show in the last couple years. Multiple times. and on Twitter and all over the place. If Trump ran on lock her up and that he was going to punish the crooked FBI, I warned multiple times, if nothing happened in 4 years, as time went on, I could have never imagined early on in Trump's first tenure as president that multiple people in the FBI would not get locked up. I thought that was a slam dunk. I would have lost a lot of money if I put money on that and wagered on. But I warned that if that did not happen, it could be very detrimental to a re-election campaign for the president. And that's, I think, where we're at. And why is that? I think it's created a massive amount of fatigue in the country. A fatigue that nothing really ever happens to the rich and famous. That there is a protection racket that I've talked about for so long. That Moore / Payne is right and has been right. This is a protection racket. And we're all getting played, okay? That type of fatigue leads to election problems. Because you can't have an energized base if you guaranteed something that not only never happened, but it's gotten worse. Those people are laughing at all of us in the FBI. They have great jobs now, book contracts, movies. They're fucking laughing at us. GoFundMes? This has been hugely profitable for them. Where are you? Where are you right now? Are you anywhere near an opportunity that is hugely profitable? Look at where you're at. Many people are getting kicked out of their rentals, kicked out of their homes, evicted, foreclosed on, losing their cars to repossession. If they had any savings, it's gone. Trying to figure out how to put more expensive food on the table. Try to figure out how to pay health insurance. You've lost businesses. You've lost jobs. Your kids are going to school with burlap sacks over their face if they're going to school at all. If you had a job or you had two jobs in the house, both parents are working, how does one parent not quit their job to take care of the kids now to make sure that they're on their Zoom classes and everything going on? It's insane. Meanwhile, these people who broke all the rules and all the laws are profiting wildly. They're literally laughing at us. I'm not just saying that to get under people's skin. That's how I see it. That creates a fatigue. That doesn't energize the base. That says that we're all suckers out here. We're fools, because guess what? We're paying for this circus. We are the paying customers that underwrite this entire circus. And the debt that's incurred from all this nonsense, they throw it on our backs. That's our tax debt. How does that energize your base? So I've said it for months and years. If there weren't any indictments by the summer of 2020, and that's past, summer of 2020, it could spell serious election problems for the president. Let's see how it plays out. I'm keeping my mouth shut until the election. I'm not going to sway it one way or the other. You can read between the lines where I'm going with this. The problem with this, the overall general problem and overall disaster of all this, including the fact that no one's gone to jail for what they did. And no one in D.C. seems to give a shit about it. They love bitching about it. And they're going to declassify this and they're declassifying that. Catherine Herridge has her highlighter. And nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit when it comes down to it. You know why? Figured it out. I figured it out. Here's the second breaking news. And I want you to think about this. Once you think about this long term, because this will be a theme for the rest of your life, not just this election, not just this year, for the rest of your life as an American citizen or an expat if you leave. A lot of people are talking about leaving, but this will be a theme for the rest of your life, and I want you to think about it because I guarantee you, you haven't heard it anywhere else. The elites and the rich and the haves versus us, the have-nots. The elites, the rich, and the haves. What they're doing now is they are normalizing corruption. They sell and they spin every turn that there's nothing you can do about it. So next time you get played or ripped off or somebody does something illegal, you just accept it as part of life in the United States. The media is selling this as well. Oh, that's just the way it is. We live in a corrupt society. Fox sells it every night. You just don't realize it. Right? And guess what? They're all in on it. The millionaires and billionaires who run the media, they're part of it. They're going to sell this as well. Oh, well, America is just a corrupt place. Corruption is part of the American fabric now. You have to accept it. It's just the way it is. That's what they're selling. They're looking for a long-term lease, a long-term license to steal from you at every turn and for you to turn the other cheek and to say, that's just the way it is. We can't do anything about it. And it's total bullshit. It's total bullshit and total fabrication. And that's, and it's working. It's fucking working. It's insane. And they're all in on it. This is the play. This is the play right here. Not to drain the swamp, but to get your approval, to let it grow, become bigger and even more out of control so that nothing gets to a point where nothing can be done to stop it. And the opportunities that you had to stop it, you had to take a stand, fell through the cracks because everybody was telling you corruption is okay. It's part of life. It's part of America. It's now part of the United States of America, the fabric of the country. That's the play. You heard it here first. You watch it and you learn from my experience in my context of what's happening. We appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit who really make a difference for us. We've had problems with Twitter this week. They're trying to put a clamp on me and us. And I can't guarantee you that next time you log on, we'll even be around on Twitter. We've had problems. They suspended the True Pundit account. They won't tell us why. I mean, I kind of have an idea why, because I think we're having an, for everything they do to us, the word's still getting out. The podcast is growing. The word's getting out. They can't keep the truth down. I've said this before. The truth will find a home. It will. You don't even have to advertise. We don't advertise. We don't pay for ads. The truth will find a home. It will. So we appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for 27 cents a day. It comes out to, I think you can get a whole hell of a lot of intel to help shape the decisions in your life, which are crucial at this point. Food, money, politics, it all plays together. People who say, I don't like politics. I don't like to think about politics. You better start thinking about it. Because politics is what's controlling your life right now. Politics is what has you locked up, you and your family locked up. So we love, and I love personally, the folks that have enabled us to stay in this business and stay viable and allow us to stick and move and sit down and be able to have this type of intelligence. And it means a lot to us. It means a lot to me to be able to do what I love doing this. I was born to do this, but I can't do it for free. It's not going to work because I could go do a lot of other things to provide for my family. I'm a very talented guy, a lot of, you know, finance and a lot of other things, but I like this. This is what I think I was born to do. So we appreciate the folks that are allowing us and me to continue to do it, despite people like Twitter and other other people. And we try to phase those people out. The Twitter thing will be worked out, I'm sure, by the folks we have to pay to work it out, just like you have to pay professionals sometimes to work things out. I'm not too worried about it. We continue to get the word out. And again, my heartfelt gratitude for the folks who are subscribers on there. And for 27 cents a day, we can't be controlled by millionaires and billionaires, and we're not. And think about what I said today. Think about what I said. There's nobody else in the country with our hooks and contacts. We've proven that. And you can be ahead of the curve or you can be behind the curve. It's your choice. Get outside the box. Start thinking for yourself. And don't allow corruption to become part of the fabric of this country. It's unacceptable. It always should be. It's not the way it works. If you're a Christian, Judeo-Christian nation, that's not the way it's going to work. They're trying to make sure that that's normalized. Crime, graft, corruption, scandal is normalized. Not on my watch. And I'll go down swinging. I don't give a shit. Take care of yourself. God bless you.
Babe, baby, baby, I'm gonna leave you. I said, baby, you know I'm gonna leave you. I'm leave you in the summertime. Leave you when the summer comes along. Calling me the way it used to do.
That's when it's calling me.